Now Peter,
Piper,
pick
peppers,
but run rock,
rhyme,
Humpty,
Dumpty,
fell
down,
that's his heart,
time,
Jackie,
nimble,
what?
Nimble,
and he was
quick,
but jam,
mass mud,
faster,
Jack saw Jay's dick.
My little boy, he called lost her sheep, and Rip Van Winkle fell a hell asleep, and out of chillin' somewhere in Wonderland, Jack saw.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ Envy. No, I'm just playing, y'all. Welcome back to Cindy's Birthday Party. This is Danny, a.k.a. Geechee Dan, and I'm here with my co-host, Big E.
Back again.
Yes, we are. So in our first segment, we went over the Mount Rushmore of rap groups. So in this segment, we want to still discuss rap groups, but we want to maybe go over a little bit of the history, and more importantly, because you cannot discuss the history of rap groups without discussing the breakups.
Yes, indeed.
It seems that the breakups are always inevitable.
Yeah, they don't. Right. They don't last.
Right.
So, yeah.
And, you know, a discussion on rap groups is so important because rap music as a recorded art form literally started with groups.
Right.
Excuse me. It's the Sugar Hill Gang, the Sequence, first female group, you know, the Treacherous Three, the Cold Crush Brothers.
Right.
Funky Four plus one more. You know, of course, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. So it's like it is a group-oriented art form. It's not until a little bit later where you get cats like LL Cool J. You know, I guess there was solo artists early on too, though, because it was dudes like Jimmy Spicer, I guess.
And, yeah.
You know, Busy B is known more as a solo MC, even though he was a part of a group I think called the L Brothers or something at one point. But initially, when these guys all started, most of them when they started. Before rap music, when it was still just in the parks in the Bronx, it was all groups.
Right.
And everybody had, like, routines that they would do, et cetera. But it was a group thing.
Right.
You know, and now we don't see as many groups in this day and age. It's mainly solo artists, and maybe that avoids a lot of trouble later on. But in the early days, that's what it was.
Yeah, I think that all ties to R&B as well. You know, R&B mostly was groups anyway, Four Tops, you know, Temptations, you know, it's group stuff. So I think hip hop kind of followed that same trend, whereas you got a bunch of individuals together and decided, okay, yeah, we're going to form a group. And
because a lot of you, when you listen to the early groups, you know, you listen to the Cold Crush Brothers or Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, they will tell you that they had routines that they did on stage. Much like an R&B group would have a routine, you know. So if the Shy Lights were doing whatever routine they had, you know, Cold Crush was doing a routine as well, you know. And that's how it was in the early days in particular. Maybe Sugar Hill Gang, because they were not really a group and that they were kind of put together specifically for the purpose of making a record, they would be the only ones, I guess, that didn't have that kind of routine and stuff that they did because they weren't. But they were made specifically just to make records.
Yeah.
Whereas the other groups, they were something they started as a live performance type of deal. And so, you know, the records came later for them.
Yeah, that is true. Right.
So. Yeah. And a lot of them will tell you, you know, hey, people would come up to us and be like, hey, you want to make a record? We'll make a record with you. And they're like, no, you know, nobody want to hear this on a record. You know, they didn't believe it themselves at the time that this was something that would be on records. Yeah. And it, of course, as we know now, it sells more records than anything.
Right.
So that's how something can grow and evolve over a 40-plus year period.
Right.
So, excuse me. When you talk about groups, you have to talk about breakups, right? Why would you say that breakups, and we're going to get into a lot of these breakups.
Right.
What would you think would be the main catalyst for
probably
that?
The initial thing would be I would say jealousy at first, but then I would want to lean more towards money probably, and who's getting the most attention is probably that's just me. Now it could be a number of things, and of course with different groups that you have out there, it's anything from relationships with group members to group members having issues with drugs or sickness or what have you. Anything can cause a group to break up. But, yeah, my initial thing would probably be, like, jealousy or money, something like that. So,
And it always seems that the breakup is inevitable. And, you know, as we look back over the course of the last 40 years of rap music, there are very few groups that you can think of that never had some type of a riff or breakup.
All of them. Yeah, I was Everybody thinking that one day myself.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you know, you could say that the Wu-Tang Clan is never officially broken up because they always come back together and do albums, but it's only because they always disperse and everybody goes and does their own thing for a year or two before they come back.
Which I think is actually helpful for them.
It is.
For any group. Separate for a little while, go do your thing for a while, and then, yeah, when y'all, some sort of reunion tour pops back off, then y'all get back together and do your thing, or if you decide to make another album, you can do that. Yeah.
Right.
And I think it does ease tensions. Now, from what I've seen here on YouTube, and I don't know how old these videos are, but you hear, like, some of the members, like, discussing certain, I guess, gripes, beefs, whatever, and this is
always
probably due to with the Hulu show that's out on Wu-Tang.
Even before that.
Yeah, before that. Yeah. But I think this is you're kind of hearing more about it because now this miniseries has come out, and now you're hearing some voices, you know, hey, yeah, Raekwon says this, or, you know, such and such. But
yeah, because you have to remember RZA and Method Man are the executive producers. So I would think that taking that into account, it means that the story is being told from their perspectives.
Right.
And that's always going to have somebody to say, like, you and I right now, we're doing this podcast. If 20 years from now, one of us decides to do a movie or a show about it, and it's only from the perspective of that one host.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or if our other co-host who's not here today, Zay, shout out to Zay.
Shout out, Zay.
Decides he's going to do a show or a movie on Cindy's Birthday Party podcast, and it's only told from his perspective, then, you know, it's a good chance you and I will be saying, well,
we'll be a little
Zay.
Salty yeah. about that.
It didn't happen like that, Zay.
Not like that, you know? Zay. Okay, yeah.
Like, why did you have that scene in there where you came in and mushed me in the head? You know, that didn't happen.
Right. Yeah, none of that stuff happened, right.
No, that would probably be me doing that to somebody if it was anything.
Yeah.
But that is that's a good point, though. I think that when groups break up, it's, like you said, jealousy sometimes. It's creative control. Because once a group gets big and everybody's ego is, you know, and it says, mm-hmm. well, I contributed to this, I contributed to that, so I should be able to do this. I should be given more control. I should be able to do this, this, and this. Because we see that a lot throughout history. Money.
Yeah.
Why is so-and-so getting all the money?
Getting a bigger piece of pie.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm the E-double of the PMD. He drive a Corvette. I drive a Samurai
Suzuki.
So, like, that should have told you right there, dog, that maybe you weren't getting paid like you should have been. If he's in a Corvette and you in a Suzuki, then, you know, later on when you say, hey, you know, Parrish is getting all the money and I'm not. So, for those who don't know, I'm talking about EPMD
speaking of that particular group, one of the stories I heard was that Parrish was robbed, had his house was robbed.
Yes, yep.
And rumor had it that Eric Sermon had something to do with, had a hand in it.
Some Long Island N-words that he knew.
Right.
that he sent by there, allegedly.
Exactly, allegedly right. Mm-hmm. And they had something to do with that. So that in itself can easily cause a rift between a group. And I want to say they did another album after
they
that
did.
Went on. Yeah,
they did.
So
they got back together a few years later.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but that in itself is going to make it hard for me to work with somebody if mm-hmm. I believe they robbed me, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, we might get together for a couple of little concert reunions here, but I can't kick it with you.
And
like
remember,
that no
Eric,
more.
It was a long time before they got back together.
Right. Yeah.
It was
some years went by.
Yeah. Because it was, because that was a deep rift.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's not one of those things you could easily forget.
No.
You know, and it was such a rift that, because remember, they had kind of grown their brand with the whole Hit Squad thing.
Yeah.
And was it Hit Squad? Yeah, it was Hit Squad because Def Squad was Eric Sermon.
Right.
So Hit Squad had, you know, K-Solo and, of course, Redman.
Right.
And then later Dos FX. And, you know, and then that split.
Yep.
And when that split, Hit Squad was, I think Dos FX was still down with Hit
Squad.
Yeah,
they were.
And then I think he might have added Supernatural. But then Def Squad was Eric Sermon, Redman, Keith Murray,
yeah,
et cetera. So, it, you know, that split the talent base that they had.
Exactly.
To a certain extent, it did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
But if you know, the first, I guess, big breakup, that I think that that happened maybe historically. I mean, you could say the breakup of the Sugar Hill Gang, but maybe that's one of those things that was kind of inevitable.
I was going to say that's one of those inevitable right. type things. But
one of the ones I found interesting is the breakup of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Mm.
The interesting thing about it is the message, which is Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five's biggest record yep. ever, is probably also the thing that led to their breakup.
Mm.
The reason I say that, folks, is because in the early stages of hip-hop, the DJ was always the primary focus, right? That's why it's Grandmaster Flash, the DJ,
yep.
and the Furious Five, which is the five MCs.
Yep.
That song, however, the message, Grandmaster Flash is not doing any scratching on it. He's not doing any cutting. His voice is not heard. He's not involved in any production.
Yep.
If you are Grandmaster Flash and you're one of the greatest DJs who's ever lived, and at that time one of the biggest figures in hip-hop culture and rap music, in hip-hop music, I should say, that had to sting the ego.
Right.
Considerably. And I have heard him say, and I've heard many other people say, that he was not happy
mm-hmm.
about the fact that this song was so big and so influential, and he had literally nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And that was probably the catalyst for the group breaking up.
Right. Because he... Because
the star really coming out of that is Melly Mel.
Right. Yeah. And I was just about to say, I think that's when they kind of split into two factions, both of them right. using the Furious Five sort of
Yeah, I
thing.
Think it was Grandmaster Melly Mel and the Furious
right.
Five.
Yes.
And Grandmaster Flash.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that in itself. And I can understand Flash's beef about that. They could have incorporated maybe something of him scratching and cutting or you know, any little piece of him in it.
Well, I've heard it said that Sylvia Robinson and Sugar Hill Records didn't really see or understand the significance or importance of Grandmaster Flash, and that they just wanted rappers to make
records.
Which
is a good point, yeah.
Because that's what they had done with Sugar Hill Gang,
right.
and it had tremendous success.
Right.
So, you know, like, why would we need this guy? Again, this is something that is a recurring theme in that there are elements of hip-hop culture that people do not view as art.
Yes.
And that has always been something that the culture and the music has always struggled with. So a dude who's got two turntables going from turntable to turntable, cutting up records, mixing, doing whatever, scratching. Some people may only see that as noise.
Right.
Or they don't see the value in that. Just as some people may not see the value of dudes rhyming over a beat.
Right.
But that's one of those things, you know, like, okay, I'm going to accept the fact that, yeah, this might be serious that you're rapping, but there's no way in hell I'm going to accept the fact that this guy is, you know, who's back here scratching on these records.
yeah, yeah.
Cutting up these records is a part of the art, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a scene on a show that used to come on HBO called Vinyl, and they show Kool Herc, of all people, beforehand. He's DJing in a community center, and these two old cats mm-hmm. are sitting there listening to him. He's breaking down all these great R&B records, and they're getting aggravated because he keeps switching the fader over to the other right. record, and they getting pissed off at him, and they just don't understand what he's doing. And his other old cat in there is like, you know, I don't really get what you're doing, but at least you're doing something. And he kind of right. at least sees it as being something, where the other two dudes are just absolutely aggravated.
Right, because they don't understand he's catching the break.
Right, right. And it was beautiful how you do it. If you ever hear it, it's on YouTube. It's beautiful him do that. I think I got hype watching the show, and it wasn't long enough for my taste, but that's another story for another time.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because that also gives me an opportunity to explain once again why we call this podcast Cindy's Birthday Party.
For y'all who don't know.
Right, because that gentleman that he's talking about, DJ Kool Herc, the godfather and originator of hip-hop culture and the music, when he did what he first did, it was on August 11th, 1973, at his sister Cindy's birthday party. That is considered the birth of hip-hop, and as an homage and a tribute to him, that's why we call this show Cindy's Birthday Party.
Right.
But, yeah, they didn't understand he's catching the break, and that the break is what the break dancers wanted to hear.
Right.
And that's true. That's one of those things. But our main subject, not to get too far off of
right.
that.
Right, we'll go back to groups here.
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, one of the first supergroups. They break up because of their biggest hit.
And the thing with them, though, I don't think any of the other MCs in the group really had any tremendous, you know, significance after that group broke up. I don't recall Cowboy or Raheem or Scorpio doing anything where
and they would
at
have
least
verses,
memorable
like,
that
okay,
I can think of. You
yeah,
know,
that's cool.
No but, solo projects.
Right,
you know.
But clearly Melly Mel was the standout.
Yeah, he was. You know? Right.
And it's interesting, too, because even though, like we said, in that first era, it's all about groups. But the three guys from that era who stand out, Melly Mel, Kumo D, Grandmaster Caz, guys were all in groups.
Yeah.
But they still, and it says something about them that despite the fact that they were sharing the microphone with other people, they were able to stand out to the point where they were considered to be the best of the era.
Right. Yeah.
Because Kumo D in the Treacherous Three.
Yeah.
Caz in Cold Crush Brothers. Yeah.
Tongue Twister.
Yes, it is. Today, everything's a tongue twister.
Right.
So when we move forward a little bit, and I don't know, is this really considered, like, Slick Rick leaving the Get Fresh crew, is that really considered a breakup? Or was he just rapping with Doug? And because I don't know if he was ever really a member of the Get. Because Get Fresh crew is really Dougie Fresh and the two DJs, Chill Will and Barry B. I think Slick Rick was just kind of
Right, like sort of a novelty they just kind of always threw in as like this extra. And, of course, we all dug it. You know, it was cool. But, yeah, I don't necessarily consider him a member of the group per se. So,
but I just remember at that time when Doug comes out later with the next album, I think maybe in is it 85 or 86 with that. Which album was that? All the Way to Heaven.
You're testing my memory here, man.
Slick Rick is not on there.
Right.
And people were saying, oh, well, Slick Rick left the group. Because, really, he's only on the show and Lottie Dottie.
Yeah.
So that's why I've always asked the question, was he really a group member or was he just featured on a couple of songs?
I think he was just featured on a couple of songs. That was always my opinion of it anyway with him.
That's kind of how I felt, too. Slick Rick was never really a member of the group necessarily.
Yeah,
so who would be the next group that you would say that was?
Well, I got a list of stuff.
Go ahead.
Let's go kind of chronologically.
Okay.
I would probably want to talk about Run DMC and their breakup. And there's a lot of different things that cause their breakup.
And their breakup comes much, much later.
Later down the road, which is not a
case where they break up in their prime and that kind of
right. thing. Yeah, it's later on down the road. It's a situation where even as they're touring and still trying to put stuff out, Run becomes more interested in other things. He starts kind of wanting to deal with kind of help promote Russell with the clothing line. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's finding religion and wanting to be a reverend.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, DMC is actually going through some things. He's
drinking
going through some depression, some drinking a lot. He's using drugs. And this is becoming kind of, you know, counterintuitive to what Run's message is. So, of course, there's this riff of, you know, someone who's kind of turning to God. And then this other fella here is you know, going, you know,
one is turning to God, the other one is turning to Zod. Shout out to DMC, though, man. If you ever hear this podcast, brother, just know I'm a huge fan of yours.
I'm a super huge fan of it. And I understand with some of the things that you were going through. In any group dynamic, it has to be rough with all of the things that we mentioned going on. Money, jealousy, who's getting a big piece of the pie, who's doing this, who's doing that. And so I can understand that there's a lot of things that would contribute to groups breaking up.
Right.
You know, whatever you went through, brother, if you somehow end up listening to this, hey, I this is no knock on you at all, man.
True that.
It's just, you know, I can understand it.
And
so
then when you add to that, too, Eric, the fact that they were, not only do they have these personal things going on, but they're at a time where rap music has changed.
Yes, good
significantly.
Point. Right.
And they have gone from being the kings of rock to now they're considered these old school dudes.
Right, they're kind of getting left behind.
Yeah. One thing about rap music is things transition and change so quickly. A lot of times when we discuss an era, it sounds like we're talking about 10 years.
Yeah.
Many times we're talking about 2 years.
Right.
3 years. And we're saying an era, But that's how fast things change. Yep,
comes and goes.
Yeah, Run DMC comes on the scene in 83, and by 87, they are considered their way of rhyming is done.
Yeah, it's kind of getting pushed aside, almost to the point of where then you get sort of the homage to them from when they did Down with the King.
Yeah, with Pete Rock. With Pete Rock, it was like almost 92, maybe.
Right, something like that. But right. You can tell that was kind of like almost not necessarily a pity thing, but it's like. Yeah, them old dudes, you know what? We should do a record about Run DMC and include them into it because they almost felt like they were getting left behind.
Well, I think that was when they, when Run DMC came out with that album and they got a lot of the young, quote unquote, young producers and rappers to be a part of it.
Right.
And that was their big single because Pete Rock and CL Smooth was so hot at the time.
Yeah.
So to have a Pete Rock joint on your album, you know. And you know, and he's in the verse down with the king for years, about 10 of them, you know, so that it tells you they had been making music for about 10 years.
Right.
And at that time, in many ways, they were considered to be done.
Yeah.
And that's astonishing about rap music.
And, And I think fans, me as a fan, I was kind of shocked to see them. Not shocked, but, you know, it's an inevitable thing that groups break up, as we were saying. But I think that kind of hurt me in a way. Like, this was the group that I kind of grew up with, you know, from 83 on when I was living in Philly. You know, Run DMC was still like a part of, you know, who I was musically. You know, I loved them. So, it was kind of sad to see them kind of being, you know, pushed aside almost. And then, you know, other groups are starting to come out. So, you know, hey, that's, you know, part of the dynamic. Yeah. That's what happens.
And then,
you know,
of course, the tragic death of Jam Master Jay.
That was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, it was done then.
It absolutely was. There's no hopes of reunions like what you would expect a reunion to be. The whole crew, that saddened me. You know.
Anybody, if you were ever a Run DMC fan, you know. But I will say this, you know, even though, Run DMC did break up, at least their breakup didn't happen like after the Run DMC, the album that was titled Run DMC, the self-titled album, you know, which would have been when they were just hitting their stride and about to take over the world. At least it didn't happen then.
Right.
Because then we would have been robbed of something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can say, honestly, looking back, well, hey, they broke up way later, but they gave us so much great music and they did so many wonderful things that, you know, it's kind of, it's okay.
Yeah.
We don't feel cheated in any way.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And I think and we were just talking about EPMD earlier. I think the same thing with them. Like they had already given us four phenomenal albums.
Right.
So, you know, okay, that y'all broke up, messed up situation, circumstances, but at least we didn't feel like we had been robbed of what could have been.
Yeah. And there are groups on our list, at least mine, I can have.
Yeah, who else did you have that you thought was a...
Well, speaking along the lines of groups that I don't think reached their full potential, we can just run with Fugees on that. And that
now that is the of all groups of unfulfilled potential.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody would ever dispute that. The Fugees, they go the score sells for those who don't know. Okay, so the Fugees had two albums. The first album, I can't remember the name of it. Comes
that was
out
with
like
a vocab and
and it comes out like 94, 95. Was it 96? I can't remember the name of the first album, but it does moderately well.
Right,
you know, you can tell that these are not young people who are without talent, but it's not something that is groundbreaking and you know and is just earth shattering. It's just going to take over the world.
Vocab, Mona Lisa was Mona Lisa on there.
A Mona Lisa.
Can I get a date of Friday? Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind taking Saturday.
And one other track was on there. I can't remember enough of it.
Yeah. It was actually, and I'm going to look it up, Eric, while we're actually talking
about
it.
Hey, that works.
Blunted on Reality.
Yes.
That's the album, 1994.
Okay.
I apologize for not knowing that off the top of my head.
It's
a decent album.
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah,
and it's one of those albums I think that in retrospect, when you go back and listen to it many years later, it sounds better than it did. I think you view it differently than you did when it came out.
Right. I think because we were stuck on other styles that was out, and when they came out, it was sort of that I guess what we would consider kind of flaky or unusual or whatever, and you didn't really vibe with it, right. But listening to it now, it's like, okay, yeah, man.
Think about, if you think about what else is coming out in 94, Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style.
Right.
Who else comes out in 94?
Biggie. Was right. In, yeah. Biggie. So, yeah.
Nas. Yeah. Illmatic, you know, so... There's other stuff that's coming out in 1994 that maybe people, or if you look at some of the stuff that had dropped in 93,
right.
That came out. And so something like the Fugees album could get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But in 1996, they dropped The Score.
Yep.
And Fire. The Score, I think at one point was like 12 million sold worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill, the standout artist the album. Wyclef's production, more so than Wyclef as a performer.
Yeah.
Praz is, you know, he's there, but you know, Praz
yeah,
is not.
It's like,
you know,
yeah, he's there.
Like Jay Electronica said, I'm over the hill like UFOs and Roswell. You're right. Over the hill like Wyclef and Praswell.
Well.
Dope line, but I was like, man, you didn't have to diss them dudes like
right.
That. But Lauryn is such a phenomenal, you know, a lot of people who are the casual fan, they look at Lauryn Hill more so as a singer.
Yeah.
Those of us who love rap music know that Lauryn Hill is a certified platinum grade A rhyme spitter.
Right.
And that was always, you know, when she went by L Boogie. I like L Boogie more than I like Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about breakups. They have this monumental, huge album, and they never make another album again.
Right. Yep. Now... fallout from that huge album, Lauryn Hill goes solo.
Miseducation. Hill, classic
album. But like you
said, Wyclef's The Carnival.
I was gonna say Carnival, but The Carnival, Fire. they were still together. That was the last bits of them being together in like 97. They weren't yet broken up, but it was coming. And of course, those of you out there, I think we all know the reasons behind the breakup, supposedly.
The reasons are several. No, those reasons weren't federal.
If not federal at all, right. These were marital, I guess is what you could call it. At the time, Wyclef being married was supposedly allegedly having an affair with Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. And they're going through their stuff, and she gets pregnant, and she's pregnant, and it's supposedly... This is that Marley Boys.
Rohan.
Yeah, the one that don't sing.
Right. The only one that doesn't.
The one that doesn't sing.
That plays football at the University of Miami.
At Miami, right. When she's pregnant, she supposedly puts a paternity thing on Wyclef, saying that the baby is his and lies to him. So this is all alleged. Mm-hmm. And, of course, how can you work with somebody after that? Wyclef even said in an interview, he said he lost his muse, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that was, he couldn't work with her anymore after that. And I can understand that. Somebody put that kind of, you know, thing on you.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really want to work around that person no more. You know, it's kind of difficult.
And then there's the creative side of it, that after Lauryn has the super success with Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and that... when they got back together a couple of times, and she was like, well, I want to produce it.
Yeah.
And Wyclef was like, well, then go ahead and produce it then. And, you know, that was, you know, they had a lot of arguments and falling out over that.
Because, right.
You know, and it's like we were stating earlier, when you have, once the people go off and they have super success on their own, maybe they don't feel the need for the group dynamic
right.
anymore. Maybe they feel like, hey, the group needs me more than I need the group.
Yeah.
Or the group's not that important, and I'm doing y'all a favor by doing
by
it.
By being here, right.
So, and not to necessarily say that that's what's to be taken from that, but those are all things that could have been involved.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
The bad part, of course, is that we never got another Fugees album.
Exactly.
And I doubt that we will ever get another one.
Yep.
I doubt that. So much drama behind that.
Yeah.
And you know, the sad part is, for Lauryn Hill, especially, she has so many fans to this day.
Yep.
Lauryn Hill will go on tour, and she's going to be performing at the Tabernacle or something in Atlanta, and people will be snatching up tickets, and she ain't going to get on the stage until three hours after she's supposed to.
She's become this kind of odd, almost a caricature of, yes. of lateness. Yes. Like, you know, she's becoming a meme is what she
yes.
is. Like,
yes.
And it's almost facts. Like, you go to her show, and like you say, people snatch the tickets up. Like,
people
yes.
still love Lauren, man.
Love Lauryn Hill. And then she'll like, oh, well, you know.
They've had a couple of occasions where the Fugees have gotten back together and performed.
Yeah.
And almost everyone who's commented on it has said that, you know, there's no cohesiveness to the group. They're just up there, three people.
Just kind of doing their own thing.
Right, reciting their lines, basically. There's not really a group feel to it.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, it's one of the reasons why they've maybe never gotten back together.
Yep.
So. But here's one I wanted to discuss, too, man.
Go for it.
One of my favorites, A Tribe Called Quest.
I've had them on my list, so yes, go for it.
Tribe Called Quest. Well, first of all, let me say this first. Rest in peace to the late Fife Dawg.
Fife.
A brother who... You know, everybody loves Fife's lyrics and his personality.
Mm.
Q-Tip, who's the lead guy, front man of the group, one of the greatest producers in the history of rap music.
Yep, on the sly.
If you do not believe me, if you think I'm overstating it, if you don't think that's true, I challenge you to Google songs that have been produced by Q-Tip.
Right.
And you will be shocked and amazed because he's never been a guy who's really beat his chest about that, you know. He's not going to – Q-Tip doesn't produce a track and call it and then have a voiceover on it saying, Q-Tip produced it. Q-Tip
right.
produced it. Q-Tip produced it.
Hey,
you know?
Q-Tip exclusive.
Right,
yeah, no,
right
yeah.
you know. He doesn't do that. But some of the greatest rap songs ever made been produced by Q-Tip. Ali Shaheed Muhammad, very underrated also as a producer and as a studio guy.
Right.
And even as a DJ. And A Tribe Called Quest sound is so – It's so refreshing and different that, like, the types of records that Q-Tip would often use or would often choose to sample or whatever, the drums he would use. But inevitably, as groups often do, A Tribe Called Quest broke up. There was always kind of like a simmering feud in some ways between Fife and Q-Tip because Fife always felt like Q-Tip was being bigger than the group.
Yeah.
And maybe Q-Tip felt like the group was his. And, I mean, in a lot of ways, I can kind of see that point. But, you know, inevitably, once they got to the point, after they do, when they follow up Low End Theory and then Midnight Marauders, and they are superstars.
Right.
I think Midnight Marauders may have sold 3-4 million copies.
Yes.
So they're stars now. So when they get back together for the next album, which is...
I want to say Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Beats, Rhymes, and Life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
By now... As it usually is, the money, the fame, people in your ear.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to go back in here and put up with this crap from Fife. I'm not going to go back in here and put up with this crap from Q-Tip. So that album is missing something.
Yeah.
I can remember being so hyped up to get that album.
Yes, the same thing, and it kind of disappointed.
Yes, it did. I mean, I can honestly say, man, as much as I love Tribe, I don't even remember a lot of the songs on that album.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. The one Stressed Out is probably the one that really rotates my mind the most because of the Faith Evans hook.
And what's the other one with Vinnie Mojica singing on it? I can't remember the name of it now, but I can hear it in my head. Y'all can't see me right now, but I'm bobbing.
He's head
my
bopping
head.
Right now, whatever's going on in his head.
But
like you said, there was a lot of anticipation for that, especially after Midnight Marauders dropped. And Midnight Marauders is just an absolute classic to this day.
No doubt about
bump
it.
Bump it. Still bumping it in my
People's
car.
Instinctive Travels in the Paths of Rhythm. I always get that name wrong, but that's the first
album.
Yeah,
the first one.
Also a classic. One of those, again, that when I go back and listen to it later,
yes.
I love it way more now than I did then. Of course, it has
Bonita Applebaum.
I'm going to tell you, man, two of the greatest tracks ever made, Bonita Applebaum and Electric Relaxation. Electric Relaxation, that sample is just so perfect.
Yeah,
man.
It's a great sample.
Man, it's awesome. And, of course, you know, Fife, I love a brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, a Haitian.
Right.
Name is Fife Dawg from the Zoo. You know what the crazy thing about Fife is? Fife is not really a great technical rapper.
No.
His stuff is often very simplistic, but it's also the stuff that you remember the most from the songs.
Good point.
Interesting.
Good point. Yeah, that first album also had a track, Lucian.
Luck-a-Lucian.
Yeah. Doom. Yeah.
Yes.
That was.
You said no.
Yeah, so, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I used to love that song. But, yeah.
But, you know, on most of the albums, Q-Tip is the lead.
Yeah.
Q-Tip is doing most of the rhyming. As Tribe advances and goes on more and more, you hear more of Fife.
Right.
And so by the time we get to Midnight Marauders, we hear even more of Fife than we heard on the first album.
Yes.
So maybe now Fife feels more established, more confident, and maybe that's where the
vision, something,
you know, it starts to break apart.
Right.
After Beats, Rhymes, and Life, they come back with Love Movement.
I like that album, actually.
I do, too.
Yeah.
That album is significant because it's the first time I'd ever heard Mos Def.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever heard production by Jay Dilla.
Yep.
But the fact that Jay Dilla, that Q-Tip brought Jay Dilla in to work on that album also caused the riff to grow.
I was just about to say, yeah.
Because they were like, who is this dude? We don't know this dude. Right. We know Jay Dilla. Of course, as we know now in retrospect, Jay Dilla is one of the great producers of all time.
Right. For the short period he was on this earth.
Yeah, God bless his soul.
Man.
Yes. They say Jay Dilla could make beats literally in 5 minutes.
One of the greatest chop artists
Ever. And the crazy thing is they split, and we thought at that point that was it forever.
Right.
But just a couple of years ago, we got another classic from Tribe. Yeah. Thank You, I Can Take It From Here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They are the first group in history to have a number one album 20 years later.
Yes.
From their last one or whatever.
Yeah, and Fife passes
in
the middle of
he's
doing
on
that one.
Several
so, yeah.
songs, but yeah, by the time it's released, he's no longer with us.
Right.
But, you know, but it's good to see that they were able to get back and do that album again.
Yeah.
You know, break up to make up.
Stylistics.
Oh, the Stylistics.
Yes, sir.
But I sounded just like them, didn't I?
No. Russell Tompkins, you are not. He was the lead singer, the falsetto voice for the Stylistics.
And my falsetto that Eric is so jealous of sounds just like him. But anyway. But, you know, it was a breakup to make up because that's what happens a lot of times, too. Rap groups break up. They always get back together.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking about, like, Brand Nubian. Who, when Pooba left the group, he said his intentions was never to stay with Brand Nubian. It was to help get them off the ground. He left. They did some albums without him. But then when they did their last album, Pooba's back on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so groups always seem to kind of to get back together at some point in time.
Significant with Tribe also is Michael Rapaport, who I guess is a huge fan of them when he does the movie about them.
Yep.
And it also brings out some feelings, I guess, from Fife at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They showed them on stage in one of the scenes, if I remember right. And there was, matter of fact, they were riffing while one of those tours was going on.
They were on a Rock the Bells tour.
Right, exactly, uh-huh. Yeah. And there was beefs and riffs then.
Yeah.
So it's significant of him to even put a movie out about Tribe.
I just thought about, man, we were talking about unfulfilled promise for a group. I just I don't know why I forgot about this, but N.W.A.
Yeah.
Because when Ice Cube leaves, it's never the same. The next album's not the same.
Mm-mm. That was the one with 100 Miles and Running on it.
Right,
and all
right.
That, yeah.
N Words for Life.
Yes.
But that album is not as good as Straight Outta Compton.
No.
And then after that, Dre leaves and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, and even though we talked about them on the Mount Rushmore and how great they are, we only get two albums from N.W.A.
Yep.
And an EP, I think they had an EP as well.
Yeah.
100 Miles and Running, I think,
was
the
EP.
Right.
And then they end up putting on
the album. And Eazy-E, rest in peace. He dies years later. But that was a case strictly about the business side and not doing business properly.
Right.
Because Ice Cube said, hey, I wrote these songs for Eazy-E that's on Eazy's album and on the Straight Outta Compton album. And I got $30,000. I'm driving a Samurai Suzuki. I still live in my parents' house. And he's got a house up in Beverly Hills.
Right. So I'm ain't right with that.
Right. He leaves the group and it's never the same. And then later on, Dr. Dre realizes the same thing. Hey, I'm getting cheated. He leaves.
Yeah.
You know?
And you left with Yella.
Right.
Nah.
Yella and Ren.
And
you know?
Ren.
Yeah. And that's just like, even though Ren's a good MC, but he was not going to be able to carry him.
Oh, yeah. You can't carry himself. Him by himself at all. So,
and so, you know, and so they're over at that point. And so that's one of those things, too, where it's unfulfilled promise.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got a couple more I wanted to touch on. Leaders of the New School, one of my favorite groups. Yes. What was the album?
What was the name of the album? Future Without a Past?
Future Without a Past, yes. Great group. I enjoyed pretty much every song. As weird as that album was, my first year in the Air Force, I was bumping that constantly. As weird as that album was, I loved every song on it. Later on, that's another one. What'd they do, two albums?
Yeah.
Two albums, and then if people remember on Yo MTV Raps,
Busta and Charlie
and
Brown.
Charlie Brown and Busta get into it because Charlie believes that Busta's getting too much. There we go, getting too much attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting all the attention. Yep. He's getting all the play, and he gets into it like live. They're right on the air.
On the air, yeah.
And they start beefing.
Remember,
about
they had
that.
To go off to the side,
right off to the side, and try to crush that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so from then on, yeah. Now they have done, you know, reunion tours and got back together yeah. periodically. But
and Busta has alluded that you know that they may do some serious studio work together sometime in
That'd
the
be
near
cool.
future.
Yep, because I enjoyed that group.
But you know, again, it's a case where okay, now that things have died down and everybody's prime is gone.
Yep.
Now people can realize that maybe some of the beefs and stuff they had was really kind of small and petty, and
yep.
we can get back together.
Right. We could have made some money.
Yeah. But yep. and Busta has always said that they never really wanted him to be in the group anyway. But when they got signed, the record label was not going to sign them without Busta Rhymes.
Gotcha.
Because he was yeah. like, you know, they had basically started doing little shows or whatever by themselves. And he got a call from them one day. He was like, hey, man, they want to sign us, but you got to be involved, too, or whatever.
Well,
and so that's how he went ahead and did the album yeah. with them, of course, you know.
And it was necessary. His charisma is kind of
yes.
what carried that group. It,
yes.
it did. You weren't getting that out of Dinko D.
Right.
You know, Charlie, you got some of it, but his was sort of that childish, immature kind of,
yeah.
he still had that same kind of feeling from Future Without a Past.
Mm-hmm.
Busta, when they
Remember
do the Scenario
the
remix.
Yeah. Oh, the Scenario. Come on, man.
Yeah. He holds it down.
The original version and on the remix. On the original version, he is the star of
right.
Scenario.
Exactly,
you know,
and they needed that.
Row, like a
right.
Dungeons Dragons, you know.
Right.
And it was so crazy and outlandish. It was like, wow, listen to Busta Rhymes. He's just
right.
crazy.
yeah,
you know, the energy.
Yeah, and they needed that. So
and remember on the second album too, they even had Cut Monte the Milo rhyme.
Right
on.
When they did What's Next,
yeah.
one of my favorite songs,
yeah.
and one of my favorite samples is on that. We'll talk about samples another
yeah.
time. But yeah, that album, What's Next, and really I can't remember too many other songs on that.
Because it's like without Busta. Excuse me. You remember the line that Snoop says, you without me is like Harold Melvin without the blue notes.
Right.
You'll never go platinum.
You never go platinum. Yep.
He could have just had Busta Rhymes say that.
Yep.
Because that would have been fitting, him talking to the rest of the leaders of the new school.
Yep.
But that one was clearly a case of jealousy.
Yeah.
And maybe personalities not really mixing initially to begin with. That and a certain dose of immaturity.
Yeah.
But we always
yeah.
have to remember that because normally when we're talking about people in their early 20s, sometimes late teens when we talk about
I was going to say, well, they were like teenagers, weren't
yeah,
they?
They
were still
were.
In high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
yes.
you know, understandable, yeah. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so immaturity is always going to be a part of it. And that's one of those things, you know, unfortunately. We got two albums from them. We got several great albums from Busta.
Yeah.
Nobody else from Leaders even released anything.
And
did
there
they?
You go. And that explains a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
it.
That just explains a lot. That's
yes.
my homeboy Keith Robinson likes to say, and there it is.
There it is.
And that's, you know, what it is. So, you know, that was just a quick touch on them. And the last one we got to touch on is Little Brother. We have to touch on
Man.
Little Brother.
You know, I have and I'm so happy that they released an album here
yes.
recently, and it
Man.
Is a great album. But I felt like when Little Brother split at that time, I was like, why did they split up? I don't understand.
Same thing. Yeah, I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
It's like, who did what to who?
Yeah. And this one is not one that is maybe as known commercially by casual fans, but for the real hardcore fans, especially of the last of the 21st century. This is one that's really significant to us.
Yeah.
Because this is one where you look at it like, man, you know, like Lil Brother is so dope. You know, another one I consider, too, that happened in more recent times is, I don't know, is Outkast broken up or are they just not making music anymore?
I don't know what to say about that.
Because
them.
Big Boy has consistently and constantly made new music.
Right.
Andre has not.
Yeah.
And I know that there are zillions of Outkast fans all over the country who would love to hear a new album.
Yeah.
Don't know if they'll ever get it, though.
Right. Probably won't. Yeah.
But they're one, you know, it's just, and it's basically, I think, just a case of Andre 3000. He wants to go do other stuff.
Yeah.
Travel the world and, you know,
But they gave us a few albums while they were around. So like we were talking about earlier, at least we don't feel cheated.
Right. There's no unfulfilled promise there necessarily.
Yeah.
They gave us classics.
Yeah. Little Brother gave a few albums. What was the Listening, Menstrual Show, and what was the one before that was the mixtape? Chitlin' Circuit.
Chitlin' Circuit.
Yeah, Chitlin' Circuit was 1.5 or whatever it was. Yeah. That's three things that they put out.
And then they had after they got dropped from the label, they had the Get Back.
Right, yeah.
And which is one of my favorites. And I can't remember the album after that, which I think was their last one.
Right.
But, you know, but the Get Back I really, really liked.
Yeah.
Because it really, it addressed the whole dynamic of how they felt about being dropped by the label.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were going to keep soldiering on, you know, and they realized, well, maybe that mainstream route is not for us.
Mm.
But we can still make good music.
Yeah.
But for them to then come apart, you know, and it's weird. Like I heard them recently discuss this. So Pooh and Fonte, the two rappers in the group, they said that they were not really that close before. Mm-hmm. So they were two guys who knew each other, and they came together and they formed a group and they were rapping, but they weren't really that close.
Mm-hmm.
Before they made this last album, this new album that just came out, they actually had gotten pretty close.
Okay.
And so maybe that, and that's kind of, you know, and they even cited the death of Fife Dawg from Tribe Called Quest as the thing that brought them back together.
Interesting.
Because they weren't even really talking to each other up
until
that point.
And I still didn't know quite what the details were. I knew Fonte and Ninth were working together, and mm-hmm. Pooh was just kind of out of the picture altogether. I wasn't sure if mm-hmm. it was Ninth who had left them behind or they had left Pooh behind. So, like you said, it was all kind of a mystery to me. Like, what
happened? The crazy thing, you mentioned Ninth Wonder, the super producer who was also a part of the group at one point.
Right.
I found out recently, too, that on the Chitlin' Circuit, that they were only about 25% of the way finished producing that, making that album when Ninth left the group.
Yeah.
I just always assumed that he was involved in all of it.
No, because they kept some of the songs Crisis had to end up doing.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Crisis does production on this new one as well.
Right. So, yeah.
But again, that's another one. I think that's a that breakup is a combination of things. Ninth maybe feeling that he'd outgrown them because he was producing for Jay-Z and all these other big artists
mm-hmm.
at
yeah.
the time, you know. And the rappers wanted it to be one way, the producer wanting it to be something else.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like it was with Gangstar, you know, Guru
Nothing
wants
well,
it to be
mention.
One way.
Right.
Premier wants it to be another way.
Yep.
And you know, people just I guess grow apart in some ways.
Yeah. And credit to Gangstar, not to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead,
credit
man.
To them just even maintaining for as long as they did, because from
yes.
what I understand, the dislike was like records ago. You know, was a long time in the making, but
That's
it was like, all right, you know, we got this record to do. Let's keep soldiering on
right.
and keep making this money. So yeah.
Yeah, and but when you take that level of maybe dislike that you have for each other, and then you combine that with the fact that now the DJ has become in such great demand as a producer, that you know maybe he feels now, you know, I'm not gonna do this anymore.
Right.
I'm not gonna put up with this because I don't really like you anyway.
Yeah.
So let it be rock and CO exactly. Smooth, right? Two dudes who just cannot get along.
Yeah.
Gave us two outstanding albums and an outstanding EP, but and have done little songs here and there
right.
together, but cannot get along.
Cannot seem to put it together yet to do anything yeah. else, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you can have just a professional relationship with somebody. Hey, we work together, but, you know, you go to your cubicle, I go to mine.
Right, yeah.
You know, you leave me alone.
Yeah.
But in music where it has to be, you have to have such an artistic connection because you're making music, maybe there's a limit to how much of a just professional relationship you can have.
I agree with that. You have to have some sort of personal connection, a little bit. Y'all have to have some sort of, I don't know, feeling of brotherly love for each other or whatever mm-hmm. the case. If it's a girl in a group or what have you, y'all have to like each other a little bit. You know, I agree with you. I don't think it can just strictly be a professional relationship. Okay, y'all cut an album and then y'all just go y'all separate ways.
Right.
No. You're spending too much time together in small quarters. You're in a booth, you know, you're in a studio, y'all working. something may not sound right, somebody gets mad about it. You know, you have to be able to hash these things out without holding grudges down the road later on.
And that's what's so amazing about Little Brother, too, for them to say that in the initial stages they weren't that close. Usually the people start off close and they grow apart.
Yes.
These dudes started off apart and grew close.
And have grown close.
That is, you know, that's kind of in reverse. So hopefully that will bode well for them going forward, is that now they have a bond that maybe they didn't share in the past.
Yeah.
And they tried to get Ninth Wonder on this album.
Yeah.
I heard a lot about that. Like, basically, Ninth was using every excuse possible to not be involved. Yeah, and then eventually they just gave up on him and said, okay, go ahead on.
Right. Excuse probably was dealing with Rhapsody in some way, shape, or form.
See, there you go with that again, talking about Ninth and Rhapsody.
I'm just saying, it just kind of seems that way. She gets a lot of his attention.
She does. But, you know, and look.
That could be wrong.
That could be a number of reasons.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've probably
gone over our time.
We have since
Corbin has not held the clock up in a minute.
We have gone over our time, but our conversations are so fly that you probably just need to hear us talk for as long as we have talked. And you got to hear a little bit of my falsetto voice today.
Yikes.
And I know that in itself is probably worth another 10 minutes. Somebody right now is listening to this and like, you know what? I didn't know his voice was so wonderful and rich and magnetic like that. Let me listen another 10 minutes because that was just fire right there.
Yeah, meanwhile, Daniel's headphones are over here smoking from that. So, yeah.
Do y'all want me to hit you with it one more time?
No, don't do that to him. Don't do it to him.
Corbin, you're a music major. Our young intern Corbin here is a music major who has a degree from Morehouse College, and he's also a musician. Tell me the truth, Corbin. What'd you think of that? Corbin is over there trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Trying to be nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, folks, thank you for listening. If you've listened this long, we want to just say again, shout out to our boy Zay. Say get better. You have on the next show.
Yeah.
Cindy's birthday party. You can follow us on social media at Twitter. It's at Cindy's BDP.
Yep.
Facebook, Cindy's birthday party. Instagram at Cindy's birthday party.
Yep.
Our website, cindysbirthdayparty.com.
Yep.
What am I forgetting, guys?
I don't know. I think you got them all. That's why I'm just saying yep to everything you say.
No, you really can't remember. Yep, because you can't remember.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. That's definitely
That's
it.
What it really is.
That's really it.
So,
yep.
But again, thanks, folks, for listening. If you listen and you like it, share it with somebody. Pass it on to your friends.
Indeed.
Hit us up with any questions or comments that you have. We don't care if the comments are positive or negative.
Yep.
We love the feedback.
We want the feedback and your interaction, definitely.
Right.
So.
If your comments are wrong, we'll tell you, hey, we are the experts.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're talking
about.
No, we won't do that. But thanks anyway, folks. Peace.
Holla.
Run, rock, rhyme, Humpty, Dumpty, fell down. That's his heart. Time, Jackie, nimble, what? Nimble. And he was quick, but jam. Mass mud, faster, jacks, or J's.